Subway everyday value means many mouth-watering pile-high favorites are $5 footlongs, like the fresh-toasted tempting meatball marinara and made-to-your-order BLT. The $5 footlong anthem rolls on only at Subway, where great everyday value lives. Subway, eat fresh.
The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. Welcome to the BS Report. Apparently there's a golf tournament this weekend. I think one of the majors. God, I can't remember which one. I guess it's Cousin Sal, you're in the Subway Fresh Steak Hotline. Which tournament is this weekend?
This is the Australian Masters or something?
Masters. Oh, just the Masters. Okay.
Yeah.
And, Tiger Woods, I guess it's a big deal he's playing or something?
Yeah, they say he's going to play this one. What a surprise.
Where's he been? I haven't followed this thing. He's been out for 4 months?
He took some time off. He wanted to be with the kids.
Gotcha.
Well, they were young enough to be kids. But no, they weren't. I don't know what his story is. But I got to say, I'll be watching if things get good Sunday, right? I mean, you're going to watch all the way through.
I might actually watch. I enjoy golf. It seems like this will be a relatively interesting tournament, so I'm going to watch some of it.
Yeah.
I don't really care who wins or what happens, but, you know, I think as a sports fan, I feel like, you know, just Tiger having that discolored yellow tooth that nobody's been able to explain, that alone I want to watch.
Oh, that's
get some more looks at that thing.
That's
what's
right.
What's going on?
Especially when he gets the green jacket. It stands out. yellow tooth.
I got to say, the thought of Tiger winning this and then just Jim Nantz putting the jacket on him and all that with that crazy Jim Nantz face would be the highlight of the sports year. And it's already been a really good sports year.
Yeah,
you think about
right.
It, like, Colts Saints was fantastic.
Uh-huh.
The national championship game was pretty good for college football.
Yeah.
It was an exciting game. Guy backup comes in. Uh-huh. The NCAA tournament, arguably, I can't remember from start to finish a better one. And you know, I think you deserve all the credit. Your buzzer beater bet really pushed the tournament into rare form.
Believe me, we're going to get the props in a second. And I love no hole in one at minus 120 but, throughout the tournament. But, yeah, I know. I definitely jinxed us. But
you didn't, though. You reverse jinxed the entire tournament. I think America should thank you.
I did? All right. Well, they can thank me in small increments of $10 bills, and maybe if I get thousands of donations, I can win back the money that I lost on that stupid tournament.
I think we even had the conversation about, well, buzzer beater bet. You're betting against buzzer beaters. That means you're betting against a fun tournament, and you were defending it, and you lost within 2 hours. And ironically, the tournament almost ended on a buzzer beater, which really, that would have been the greatest shot in sports history, I think. I'm trying
to
hard-pressed to think of a more dramatic ending to a basketball game. I guess Jerry West made a half-court shot in the 1970 finals, but that was like game two, and they ended up losing in overtime.
Right, but did the opposing coach stupidly call on you, the guy that missed the free throw, the second free throw on purpose? Like that?
Yeah.
I can't believe, like, Krzyzewski would have been answering for that for life, right?
Yeah, and I think you and I maybe, as a little side business, should anoint ourselves the VP of coaching common sense, because
yeah,
this drives us crazy in football when coaches overthink things and do weird things. This new trend of intentionally missing the free throw so the other team can only get like the frenzied 3-point, not really a good shot.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? Just go up three.
Yeah, go up three.
Yeah, there's an idea.
And you have options. Then if there's a stupid foul somewhere, you're not doomed or something. And Zubek was so cool at the line. Like, he nailed the first one, which was, I was surprised. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
If he's missing, if he threw the first one, it was an air ball, maybe just go for the miss. But you're not going to get a better shot. Like Butler didn't get a better shot with the miss than they would have had he made it, you know?
No. And as we talked about on the phone the other day, like, Tom Izzo not raked through the coals enough for his whole thing. Everybody talking about, and I agree, he's obviously been probably the best coach of the last 10 years, but you know, to miss an intentional shot that only knocks 0.2 seconds off the clock.
Right.
That is idiotic.
Yeah.
It's just a terrible basketball strategy. And in this case, you're trying to prevent basically the Christian Laettner situation or the Tate George situation, which really happens once every 6 years.
Yeah, once every 18, I think, right?
Yeah. You're right. Twice in 2 decades, those crazy showers. I guess the Bryce Drew is another one, but these are things that just do not happen.
Yeah, and the other difference is Butler didn't have a timeout, so it's not like they really could have set up a play like Duke did with Laettner. You know, they would have heaved it in. If they were guarding the inbounds, Duke was, it would have been even more difficult.
I watched that game there's this new sports bar on 3rd Street in L.A. called Goal. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty good. Like, it's small, but it's a cool place, and people are crammed in there. And it was about the most excited I've seen a sports bar be for the end of a game in a long time. I'm hard pressed to find another event that, like, the biggest when the shot banked off that I've heard in a sports bar probably ever.
Yeah,
it was great. It was a great game. It really was. And if Gus Johnson had been announcing it, that's the only way it would have been better.
Oh, forget it. Forget it. He's still being under cardiac arrest. But yeah, I believe me, I would have loved to have rooted against Duke, but I had them on the money line, and I was like, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down in flames. And
what was it like to root for Duke? I'm curious.
What are you talking about?
Well, what's it like to root for him? It's like rooting for Russia in 1980 or something.
I just felt like, I don't know, whatever. I don't see the blue and white. I'm just looking and I'm like, you know, they have three Haywards, and I'd like to root for good three-point shooting and good free-throw shooting and good coaching, except we didn't see that at the end. But
no.
I lucked out. I lucked out for sure.
And, you stayed away from the women's tournament, correct?
Yeah, I did. I did. Well, a couple weeks ago I had some games because I was in Vegas, but... But, yeah, it's good to stay away from the golf tournament in general.
Interesting moment on Sunday afternoon. I was kind of talking myself into a possible Baylor bet.
Yeah.
So I texted you what the line was, and you said it was 25.
Yeah.
5 minutes later, there's an earthquake.
Yeah.
I took that as a sign that I shouldn't bet on women's basketball.
Right.
Whole earth shake, 6.9 or 7.2 in Baja. Our whole house is shaking for a minute, and I'm like, all right, well, then – God has decided. I'm not going to bet on women's basketball.
Jesus is resurrected yet again, this time just to tell you not to bet the women's
basketball. Yeah. Yeah. You're here today because we're going to talk about some Masters props.
Yeah.
There are a lot of bets, a lot of Masters bets.
Yeah, I was hoping there were more stupid bets, but there are a lot. I mean, because it's a long tournament. It's 4 days, and it's nice to have something at stake every hour or so. You know, otherwise you're just... You're just rooting blindly, but there are some good ones. I mean,
all right, let's run through them, and maybe we'll make some mock bets and see how we do here.
All right. Well, Tiger is routinely between 2 and 3 to 1. He's between 3 and 4 to 1 to win this tournament, so you could just do that. There's a ton on Tiger.
4 to 1. So is there a bet where you could bet Tiger won't win the tournament?
Yeah, it's -500 that he won't win.
Okay.
That sounds like a Sal special, but... And let me tell you, it is always fun. That kind of is like betting against Duke, except you're laying a lot of wood, no pun intended. But it is nice to root against just one guy in a golf tournament.
Well, especially a guy who...
Be careful.
I'm just saying, the guy, he's been through a lot. It would really be far-fetched for him to win this tournament. I think that would be one of the most shocking things that's happened in my lifetime.
I agree.
This guy to come back from a 4-month layoff and all the turmoil he's gone through, and he's going to win the Masters? I don't see it.
Yep. But they have stuff like, what will he shoot on the first hole? Will par or birdie? Like that's dumb. Will he get a hole in one? 40?
Wait a second. I don't think that's dumb.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's a par 4, the first hole.
You just go par? Yeah.
I think he either hooks or slices that first drive. It's a lot of pressure. I can't remember a golfer being under more pressure for a random leading off the tournament drive than that drive.
All right. Well, they have actually the tee shot. I mean, they have the first hole, but they also have will the tee shot land on the fairway.
Yes. Oh, what's that?
Yes is -200. No is +150.
Oh, I like the no.
Do you?
I think no. Yeah, I think he's in the rough. That's a lot of pressure, that first tee shot.
You know it's going to land right on the edge of the rough fairway, and we're going to be suing some unnamed sports book in Antigua for the next 10 years.
Well, if you're going to heckle Tiger at any point in round one, don't you just go for the gusto with that first shot?
If someone's going to heckle him,
yeah.
Well, that brings me to the next one, and this is a real one. Will someone heckle Tiger throughout the tournament?
Throughout the tournament or just once?
At all. At all. Wait, let me make sure. Let me make sure I got this right.
This is almost like our Oscar crying bet where there's a lot of room for interpretation.
No, but you know what? It's better for us. Will Tiger Woods be heckled after addressing the ball and step away during the 2010 Masters? Oh, I guess that's the key. He has to step away while being heckled.
So the heckle has to make him step away.
Right, which I guess is another gray area. Like, oh,
what are the odds?
It's even. Well, they're going to get you some juice on juice here. It's minus 120, yes, minus 120, no.
Oh, I like the yes.
Well, I like the yes, too, because I feel it's the first prop we're ever personally can affect, you know? I mean, really, round trip ticket and a bullhorn, and let's get out there.
So you're saying one person could just bet online that Tiger will be heckled and then actually heckle him and win the money and cash
in. Exactly.
That's pretty interesting.
I think you should send your readers and listeners, you should send them out there in droves just to make sure this happens.
All right, so he's going to take between 265 and 285 shots in this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me that of all of those shots, not once is anybody in the gallery going to heckle him in some way that will make him step away from the ball. I think that's a lock. Minus 120, yes, lock.
I think so, too. I hate to say it, but I think so, too.
I mean, think all the jerks out there. Think of what the internet is like. Think how mean people are. There's no way you're going to just find this gallery of benevolent people for four straight days. I refuse to believe it.
All it takes is, one drunk idiot late Saturday afternoon who's bored with golf to mouth off, you know.
Wait a second. They don't serve liquor during these things, right?
They probably don't. I don't think at this one for sure because he wasn't going to miss the Masters anyway. But
you could smuggle liquor in though. I mean, if you really tried hard, you could bring in a flask or something.
Well, listen, I'm telling you now, I'm sick of losing money. A and B, this is a great story. If by Sunday no one has done this, you and I fly out and we make this happen. Let's just do it already.
This is a great bet. I mean, it's really along the lines of the Sandra Bullock bet, which was probably my most exciting gambling moment of 2010.
That was great.
Come on, Sandy. Come on. Come on, read the tears. Come on, Sandy.
And she kept it together for the first minute and almost started wrapping it up. And and by the way, had she known then what she knows now, the tears would have been flowing all
the time. Yeah, they would have been flowing the whole time. See, as soon as she brought up the mother, I was like, I knew it was... I want to bet on the montage next year. I think that should be a bet, the dead montage. I really think that should be a bet. We should be able to wager on this. How exciting would that be?
Who makes it last or what?
Yeah, who the last person is. We should be able to wager on that.
Interesting.
Going to be, we haven't had a big one yet. It's definitely not going to be Corey Haim or Robert Culp.
Yeah.
All right, keep going.
All right. Let's see. What else? Tiger Woods' final position. First through fifth is even.
Oh.
Six through tenth is 4-1. 11th or worse is 11-8, which I've never seen 11-8 in my life.
11 to, so you have to bet 8 to win 11?
Yeah. I don't know what
that's weird.
And Tiger Woods' final position. Missionary with a Hooters waitress underneath him while wearing only a Nike headband. 7-2. That's a good
one. Come on. Joe, is that coming out?
Oh, stop it. Come on, listen to me. I have five of these. So
we do have a disclaimer at the beginning. I mean, we should loosen up with this stuff.
Joe, stop it. It's gone.
Wait a second. I love that 11th or worse.
11th or worse, 11-8, yeah.
I mean, that's better than even odds.
How many guys?
I don't think he's going to finish in the top 10.
Yeah, that would be a safe thing to do, 11th or worse.
I will say, and people have been writing about this the last day, but it was something I thought of, and I think a lot of people thought of during that press conference. This guy has, you know, been fueled by this competitiveness and big ego and just the kind of personality that you have to be a mega superstar and just want to destroy people week after week. And I think all the things in his personal life probably fed into that to some degree.
Yeah.
And to hear him say, you know, it's not just about golf anymore. I'm about my trying to get my family together. I'm trying to become a better person. Like, that's all good. That's admirable for him as the person. Mm-hmm. But I really think that is going to affect him as a golfer. And I hate to psychoanalyze it, but, you know, you're changing fundamentally who you are as a person. How does that not affect you as a golfer? It should.
Well, we'll see. Well, I'm not going to argue with him.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It should affect him.
Look, I liked rooting against him when he was hooker free. Now it's all gravy.
Well, imagine Michael Jordan comes back from his baseball sabbatical, and he's like, you know what? I've done a lot of thinking these last 2 years, and I need to change who I am.
Right.
I'm going to spend time with my family. I'm not going to gamble. I'm not going to go out with the boys anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be a dad and play basketball. Does he win 3 straight titles? I don't know.
I don't think so.
It seems like that all that stuff is fueled toward the same thing. Like, these guys are big ego superstars that, you know, they're always the biggest guy in the room. They're always the best. They can always get the best girl. They can gamble the most money. Like, it's all part of the same machine.
Right. And also, this is that Michael Jordan, it's a team sport. At least his teammates could pick him up. He could take
yeah.
Ali behind him. This is just him, and no one else is helping him out. That's for sure.
And also, like, you know, what if he stinks? Like, Riley wrote a column about what if he wins? Like, what would that be like? What if he's terrible? What if he shoots like an 80 in the first round?
Yeah.
You know? And then that starts the whole, oh my God, Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is this it? Did he lose it? And now that this story's gone to a whole nother level of people just picking him apart and trying to figure out if he's going to survive psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I just think there's a lot more pressure on this first round than people.
Well, and then he can go to Elon and say, listen to me, I know this sounds bizarre, but me cheating is good for the marriage. I mean, look how much money I could bring in. Like, I've lost my power. What is that, Samson? And
yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah, that's
be free.
These are all good points.
But
what else do we have?
7-1 odds, Tiger's 9-iron quits in the middle of the tournament and sues him for fondling and hires Gloria Allred to represent him.
I like that.
Okay.
That's a good one.
30-1 odds. Jim Nantz makes a Tiger ball washing joke. I don't think it'll happen. But
I feel like you're making these up.
What?
Any real ones?
Let's see. 119.5 over under text messages from ladies of the night. No, I don't know. Let's see. What else? Well, they have TV ratings. What will the TV ratings peak at during the Masters? 20.3.
That's interesting. So,
I'd have to look back to see what they've been. And
well, let's think about this. The Super Bowl got to like in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if he's around in the fourth round and it's striking distance,
mm-hmm.
that goes above 20. There's
that's
no question.
Thing. They're yeah. counting on.
You're basically
Sunday.
You're betting on him contending for that bet.
Midday Sunday, right?
So what would be the odds for that?
It's -120. Either way. I mean, it's an over-under, 20.3.
Hmm. Which yeah, means, that's the one thing I'm not sure about this is how fascinated everybody is. Like, I know, like, people, the sports fans, like, in our the 18 to 40 range, are right. all the males are going to be watching this tournament. But I wonder about, like, people like my mom. Is she going to care? Your mom? Like, damn, is it going to get that demographic? I don't
My
know.
Mom will not give a crap about any of this, but yeah, I do think the casual fan or even someone who just knows his name will kind of tune in Sunday if he's around. I mean, it'll double from Saturday to Sunday at least.
Like let's say there's a guy who doesn't like sports at all and is into cooking, like our cousin Jimmy.
Oh yeah.
Does he watch this tournament? Does he make pizza in his backyard and not watch it all.
I think he multitasks. In fact, he's got a large screen in the back of his pizza oven now. So
why wouldn't he invite people over for a Sunday Masters? I think we should invite ourselves over.
I don't know.
This is something I want to watch on a 103-inch TV. I want to see that yellow tooth on 103 inches.
It would be nice. It actually would be scary. They should have it in 3D, actually. That'd be terrifying.
That'd be good. Actually, golf, you're right. Would golf be the best 3D sport?
It would help a lot.
Hockey would be pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that'd be nice.
Or what else do we have?
They haven't done wrestling in 3D yet, a WrestleMania in 3D.
That's probably, I would bet, next year.
Yeah.
Would be a good one.
Who is
the favorite for the Masters?
Well, Tiger is, only because he's 4-1, and then Mickelson's the next lowest at 10-1. And then Ernie Els 11, Harrington 16.
Really? So Harrington's the fourth highest favorite, and he's 16-1?
Yeah.
Who else? Run through him.
All right. Steve Stricker, 20-1. Paul Casey, 28. Oh, I missed a couple there. Retief Goosen, 22. Lee Westwood, 20. I don't know.
None of those sound enticing.
No, I don't know. The aforementioned Vijay Singh, 50-1. Jim Furyk, 28-1. What did I say? Where's the guy who has to take the card all
Have
the
you
time?
Seen, is anybody like a bandwagon pick for this thing? Because it seems like everybody's so obsessed with Tiger, nobody is actually discussing this tournament and like who else could win.
Yeah, you're
I've heard that conversation once. I watch SportsCenter every day.
Exactly. Nobody's I don't know.
Like, honestly, here are five guys I think can win other than Tiger Woods. Haven't heard that yet.
It might be. It could be smart to take five guys in the 30-1 range and just, you know.
Just hope one of them hits?
Yeah, maybe seven or eight of them even.
As you said, though, it is more fun to just have one guy and either root for him or root against him.
Yeah.
And if you bet on that Tiger Woods will finish out of the top 11 bet at 11-8, at least you just know every shot he takes, you get to root against it. Now,
yeah.
The question is, as a sports fan, you should probably want to root for him because it's a better sports story.
Mm-hmm.
I've
done it a bunch of times. I've rooted against him and root for him. And it's just Sunday, it's obviously more fun to root for him if he's around. But Thursday through Saturday, it's just brutal, just every single shot.
So what is the deal with – are we going to see all of Tiger's holes, or is this going to be one of those things where – they join the telecast on Saturday. It's like, oh, here's Tiger on round 10. Like, this is the one time we should be able to see every hole that he plays.
No, I think ESPN picks it up live at like 1:30 or something. Thursday, right? We definitely see his tee shot. They're interrupting SportsCenter to see his tee shot. So
I'm
goes from there.
I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, but I'm so excited for this Masters. I can't even speak.
What are you talking about?
I can barely talk about it. I'm just really excited. I love the Masters anyway. It's my favorite tournament. I think this is such a compelling sports story. I'm so in. I'm locked into this. I love it.
Really? Are
yeah,
you doing like a diary, like you did for the NCAA tournament on Thursday?
I might do a four-day diary.
Oh, my God.
I might do a diary right now. Actually, I'm doing one. I'm writing one right now. I'm writing one in my pocket. I just think... Look, this is we've never seen a gigantic athlete in this position before.
Yeah.
Is this too much? Is this going to be too much for him?
I think it's
going to be too much through this,
too. By Friday, you're going to want to put a bullet in your head.
What do you think about his Fumianchu?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the big thing that he's been hiding the last few months.
Fumianchu?
I guess any distraction is good, right?
Anything else? No other bets that you like?
I don't know. No, not
What was
really.
The hole-in-one bet?
Well, just for anybody. I think that a hole-in-one, and there was one last year, I'm pretty sure, unless I'm thinking of another tournament. It's just minus 120 either way. Will there be one? You know.
You know what? The last thing. We should be able to bet on what would Jim Nantz say if Tiger won? Like, would he really say? Not like a joke, like, huge, quickly, Tiger. Like, obviously, he's not going to say that. What would he say, though, if Tiger won as the putt's going in? Because he's got to have his pre-prepared one-liner.
Right.
So what would that be? The Tiger is back on the prowl. Like, he couldn't say that. You can't say anything with prowl because there's sexual implications.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
This Tiger still has the eye.
I don't know.
Something.
Tiger has found his stripes. Do Tigers have stripes?
Yeah, sure.
Joe Mead.
They do.
Joe
Mead. Yes.
What do you think Jim Nantz would say?
I'm not going to get into what I think he'll say.
Oh.
Joe Mead's still trying to figure out a way the Bills can get Donovan McNabb.
We got to work a third team into the deal, Sal.
Don't give up.
Sal, you missed it. Lombardi was on the other day talking about how he thought Tebow could go as high as 9 to the Bills. And we brought Joe Mead in, who was just just devastated.
You don't like that, Joe?
You can't take Tebow 9th. I'll take him. I'll be happy about him in the third round. I'll accept it in the second, and I'll be upset with the Bills if they take him at 9.
The best part will be watching him talk himself into it over the next 4 months.
Oh.
Tebow at 9. His release isn't that bad.
Then you got to re-sign T.O. Tebow, T.O. That's it. That's your push the rest of the way.
Joe, I think the signing of Tebow would bring you closer to our Lord Savior Jesus Christ.
Well, there's
no, you're already close
that.
From Notre Dame, and this will be take you to another level, right. I think. Good for you guys.
Yeah.
All right, Cousin Sal. So, did we cover everything?
Yeah, I think that's it. Jimmy Kimmel Live, Luke Wilson on Wednesday, Martin Lawrence Thursday, and that's it.
I went to American Idol yesterday.
Oh, yeah. What happened? You're going to write about that, right?
I probably will. I got to say, exceeding expectations, not a strong enough word.
Really?
Have you been? Yeah, have you been?
No, no. We're right across the street every day or whenever it's filmed.
No, it's actually not there. It's where it's in the CBS lot on Beverly where they film like the Survivor finale and those things.
Oh, okay.
I always was under the impression it was like a 6,000 seat theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, maybe a little bit bigger than it's like a 500 seat theater, I'd say.
Really?
Yeah, maybe 600. And,
I had Will Simon be heckled at minus 120.
Simon was heckled there at the taping yesterday. It was really surprisingly riveting, I got to say.
But they're not even good this year.
Well, that's the thing. Somehow we saw like the best show that they've had all year. Like almost every performance was good. Simon barely said anything.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was pretty good. But man, the in person, like it's if somebody actually does well, It's really like you're feeling it. Like the whole audience is quiet, and then when the judges come up, like you're like on the edge of your seat. It's pretty good.
Yeah. It's bad karaoke, and you're not allowed to drink. Go to the Brass Monkey on six. Much better.
All right, Cousin Sal.
All right, buddy.
To you soon.
All right, I'll talk to you.
All right, now we're going to bring in the czar of reality TV. Our old friend Dave Jacoby is on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Opening day really was on Monday, or I guess Sunday night, but technically Monday. For Dave Jacoby, opening day is tonight on MTV. The return of the Real World Road Rules Challenge. This year it's a fresh meat cast.
Fresh meat.
Love the fresh meat.
Love fresh meat.
Unfortunately, we can't do a draft because we don't know who like 10 of these people are, 12 of these people, whatever. But so we're going to draft all the veterans. I think we should do it that way. And because the veterans are going to win. The rookies, fresh meat, whoever, they never win the challenges. They always lose. They have no experience, all that stuff. Would you agree?
Yeah, but we don't know the format either. Like, they change it up sometimes. They're paired with a veteran. Like, they do that whole, like, team-picking thing, you know?
So you want to wait a week, and then after we watch this week's show, we'll have the draft with House?
Yeah, I think that's the right play.
Yeah, because you're right. We do need to know what the exact format is.
Yeah, and House needs to come back from last year. Last year he lost; he got blown away. Me and you went to the finish, 5-point difference.
Yeah, and I won.
Way back.
I'm the defending champ.
So you've seen the preview show, right?
I did not watch the preview show. It's on my TiVo. Is it something I should have watched?
Yeah, for sure. You should definitely watch it. But just as a little, it's the spring training. You know, before opening season, you get a feel for what's going on. You see how TJ is. You know, just see what TJ's up to. See what sort of prints he's got in his T-shirts this year. You know,
yeah. He brought his T-shirts from the How to Make It in America guys.
Exactly.
We're going all the way, son.
We're gonna make it, son. My T-shirt is gangster.
Did you watch the last two shows of How to Make It in America?
I didn't watch the finale. No.
Yeah, finale was a little disappointing. I'm not gonna lie.
I liked that show.
I did too.
Corner on that show.
Yeah, I liked it too. I thought they, you know, I thought the first six episodes were better than the last two. Unfortunately, which, you know, it's on the fence for being
nude. The one you didn't like, I liked. I like all of them.
Really?
Yeah, you got to know Renee a little bit.
Yeah,
I was into it. Let me tell you a little bit about this. The you know, sort of like fresh meat and meat show that they had.
Okay.
They did like a combine event. I don't know if you remember that from last time.
Yep.
Just so you get like an idea of how, you know, how the new members would perform. And it's just as stupid as the NFL combine. It doesn't make any sense. You know, like they do pull-ups. How many pull-ups do you think you could do? Seriously.
Probably three.
Yeah, I don't even know if I could get there. I feel like one and a half. Do they do half pull-ups?
Yeah, I can't even remember the last time I tried one. So who did the most pull-ups?
Oh, there's this dude, student Noor, he's from Austin, and he's, I believe he's on the National Aussie Rules football team.
Yes.
Or something. And I really like that, because I think when I have my kids, like instead of having them play baseball and basketball and football, I'm just going to say, you know what you do? Find your niche, you know, because you can go far. if you just pick a small sport.
That's what some people have told us, that we should push our daughter toward golf because it's the easiest way to get a Division I scholarship. Golf.
Golf. And there's a lot. Golf's a long career, lots of money.
And there's some downside that we won't go into, but golf. So you like Knorr? What about Laurel?
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to show my hand on my draft strategy, you know?
Yeah. Well, what about Laurel, who's described on the website, very pretty, by the way, as a tall, strong Division I athlete with a fierce competitive streak?
Yeah. She's only did two pull-ups.
Oh, that's not good.
But I think that was more than anybody else. None of the girls could do any pulls. But she's the fresh meat. The producers are starting to figure it out. You know what I mean? They're like, let's just find attractive people. And
If
I was casting this show, I would just, are they attractive? No. Are they crazy? No. Then they're not on the show. You got to have one of the two.
Oh, my God. There's another Boston guy in the cast this year. Vinny.
Oh, yeah. And he's
bulging biceps, dizzying dance moves, and a thick Boston accent aren't Vinny's only defining qualities.
Yeah.
It's always the Boston accent, if you're ever trying to get on the show, take whatever accent you have and quadruple it. You're going to increase your odds.
Exactly. Go to a speech coach. You walk in the door, they're like, do you want us to get rid of your accent? You're like, no, turn it up.
Well, let's talk. You've been very open about your feeling that the real world is the feeder, you know, much like the minor leagues in baseball to the challenge and the spots for who gets to be in the challenge. You know, it's very important. This year we have 12 spots for veterans. I'm going to run through them. Sarah, who was, I think, from Real World Hollywood.
No, she was from Brooklyn.
Real World Brooklyn, yeah. She had a nice little rookie debut last year in the ruins.
Yeah, she did really well.
If you don't know her, she's the one who had the tattoos in her arms, and Kenny was really mean to her, and for some reason she took it for most of the year, and then finally broke down in tears by the pool.
She loved it, though. She
obviously likes being teased by men. Darrell, who the last time we saw him beat the absolute living crap out of Brett. I mean, really beat him up. Like, it was as much of a beating as I think we've ever seen on any of these shows. Has there been a worse beating?
I mean, Bad Girls Club is like one consistent sort of ongoing scrum.
Yeah.
But there was real damage done by Darrell.
Yeah, it seemed like you were like,
he really bubbled Brad.
Yeah, you wonder, like, is that a detached retina? Will Brad be able to see out of his left eye? Stuff like that. Jen with two N's. I can't remember what show she was on, but definitely one of the most promiscuous ones ever. Yeah, Denver.
Jen with two N's in the they do some teaser clips in the Meet the Meat show, and Jen with two N's punches Mandy in the face so hard. It's the hardest female on female punch I've ever seen in a reality show.
Oh,
it was closed fist. She stepped into it. It was like she was training for it. It was good.
So,
really good.
Does that mean she's going to get bounced?
Yeah.
You think?
You don't know. You don't know where it happens in the season, but you get your 25 fighting points, too, if you take her.
Oh, that's true. You're almost locking those in right away. Yeah. Kenny, who has really become one of the icons of this event, and he's reached a point for me where I'd be disappointed if he wasn't involved. Know what I'm saying?
I mean,
I think we need Kenny.
Are sort of like Kobe and LeBron, like revitalizing the property.
Yes,
you
Kenny
know,
West.
LeBron would revitalize the NBA, you know. And there was this old generation, like Mrs. and Corals, and you thought, like, once those people were gone, this thing's just going to, you know, disappear. But Kenny and West have just breathed new life into it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, watching the Bird Magic documentary where Bird said he used to read the box scores in the morning to see how Magic did, which, I think that's BS, and I think those guys have milked this rivalry for maybe a little more than what it actually was. But I think Kenny and West do that. I think they look in the box scores every morning, measure each other. What did Kenny do today? What did West do today? I don't know. I want to find out. Jillian, who I always liked. I thought she was a cutie. Gauntlet 3 champion.
Oh, yeah.
And also won the heart of fellow competitor Frank. The two lovebirds are still together, according to MTV.com.
Really?
Interesting.
Everything is true, by the way.
Frank was the guy from Real World Vegas who was one of the
guys
of that.
He was the only guy in Vegas that wasn't like absolutely, you know, crazy.
Danny from originally from Real World Austin, who has been him and I think Dunbar have been the two most disappointing challenge guys this decade. Just never good.
Yeah, Dunbar's good for TV though.
Dunbar's good for TV. I'm not sure what Danny's good for.
Where is Dunbar though? You know they called him. He definitely got the call.
He's probably like in some sort of 6-month anger management class, right?
like anger management, an off-site anger management, like sort of pseudo jail.
Dunbar's the only guy they've ever had on this show that I'm convinced they don't show all the footage, because if they showed all the footage, he'd have to go to prison.
Yeah, there'd be some sort of legal repercussions.
Yeah, they'd be like, why do you have that guy on? That guy's a serial killer. We can't. So they'd be like, no, we can't show the scene where he stands over somebody's bed for 3 hours staring at them. Wes.
Didn't Danny get engaged on like some reunion show or something?
Yeah, he married. He's married.
Fraud.
No, he's married to Melinda.
Yeah, Melinda, that's right.
It kind of scares me that you're the czar and I know more of the real world facts than you do.
There's a lot. There's a lot of history.
I think you're working too hard. I think you have to work less hard.
Yeah. I was concerned about that. It's affecting my czardom.
Wes, obviously the LeBron of the show. And, you know, I thought what we saw last year, he had clearly cycled for heading into the show and lost some steam as the show went along, because I think they take out all the drugs out of the house.
he's a wild card, man. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get out of him. In the promos, you can just see that you're going to get a lot of good Wes this year. Remember last year, last time around when he wouldn't cooperate with his team.
Yeah,
I think he knows how to milk the camera time too.
Yeah, Ryan, who I can't even remember what Real World he was on or where he came from, but. I can't really remember anything about him, so let's move on. CJ, who was the punter on one of the recent Real Worlds, and really a dope. We'll see how he does with the physical activity. What are your expectations from him? Real World Cancun.
The last time we saw him physically performing, he was at some sort of like punting audition tryout thing. I mean, he's in decent shape. He's got the personality of a donut. I don't see much coming out of CJ, but who knows, you know?
I don't see much coming from him either. Landon, who, we've already mentioned the LeBron-Kobe comparisons before. I think Landon's more of the Dwayne Wade. Doesn't really get a lot of media attention, but...
But puts up numbers.
It puts up big numbers, and it always seems to land outside of the winning alliance, so he's kind of on his own with Jermaine O'Neal and Udonis Haslam.
Yeah.
But
he's kind of cool. Like, I like Landon.
Me too. You
right.
Forget, this was the guy with Jack Sikmahair from Real World Philadelphia, who was really kind of a loser on that show. I think he's really turned himself around.
Yeah, he was.
Paula.
Paula's Walnuts.
Initially from Real World Key West, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
She's
if you remember her from that show, I mean, she would get drunk and transform.
Yeah.
I mean, she would just completely change. She had an eating disorder.
Yeah.
She would pick scabs all over her body all day long. She's liable to do anything.
Joe Mead, you're going to have to bleep me here, but the word bat crazy was really created for her, in my opinion.
Yeah.
She's bat crazy.
She's bat crazy. Some people are crazy.
Yeah.
Bat crazy.
And which is great for the show.
When they do the, I gave you some work to do there, Mead. Sorry, buddy. When they do they say, are you crazy? Are you attractive? Those are like sort of the two categories that the casting people are looking for. Bat crazy is almost an automatic in.
It's like the old Corolla joke. Corolla's wanted to have this running bit on Jimmy Kimmel Live where he went outside to Hollywood Boulevard and the bit was called Prove to Me You're Not Crazy. And he went up to people who obviously seemed crazy, and they had like 30 seconds to prove to him that they weren't. Paula would fail.
She could never prove she wasn't crazy.
And then the last one.
How do you just go right over Caitlyn?
Well, I saved her for last. You have to save the first transgender challenge competitor ever for last. A good season for her to be on the show because there's no male versus woman, none of that stuff. So we don't have any sort of the ethical issues that plagued Dr. Renee Richards' tennis career near the end. It doesn't really matter if she qualifies as male or female here. She's just on the team.
Her. I mean, I'm excited to see her. I forgot about her.
Here's the thing. Hey, now, you'd think this would be a huge advantage to be a former dude in this event as one of the six female competitors. I almost think it's embarrassing for her if she's not good. It's like, you used to be a dude. Yeah, you should be much better than the other girls. I would think that would be my reaction to that.
Yeah, it's like the 15-year-old pitcher in Little League.
Or the guy, like, in when you're playing a basketball game and they have the 6'8 guy there. Like, oh, the 6'8 guy. Oh, my God. He's going to be great. And he's terrible. And you're like, hey, you're 6'8.
Yeah.
How are you not good?
Listen, as a guy who's pretty tall, I'm like 6'3. Is the one thing I hate is, if I was as tall as you, man, I'd be in the NBA. If I was as tall as you, I'd be dunking on everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not. You're short.
Right.
So sometimes I get upset when everybody wants a tall guy to be good at basketball.
What are you expecting from Caitlin from a hookup standpoint?
Oh, great question.
Because when her real world season, it was all over the map. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. I don't see a lot happening in that regard.
Mm.
I don't see a lot of dudes or women on the board that could see being a fit. She'll probably do a drunken makeout with Ryan at some point. I can see that happening.
Yes, I think that's a good call. I think that's your best prediction of the podcast. Yeah. So do we think that this fresh meat, because historically it's just always a mismatch with the veterans versus the fresh meat. I guess the difference this time is that the team isn't like the veterans. It's not really a powerhouse. Like it's like they've been able to assemble in years past. Like Evan's not on the team.
Dunbar and those guys.
A couple other ones that usually see.
Evan? Like I always wonder why are these people letting me down. I look forward to seeing these people. Like what's he doing? You know.
I always thought that maybe MTV, from an overexposure standpoint, tried not to have these guys on every single time.
Yeah, they don't want them getting big heads.
Mm.
Just demanding more money.
Right. They want to drive down their...
It's not about the property. It's not about the personalities.
They want to drive down their appearance fees. So anything else? Because we have a couple other shows we have to cover, and we have 10 minutes.
Yeah. I want to tell you about some of the fresh meat. I mean, it's a great cast, and I'm expecting big things. I mean, we've got Carly, the strip club waitress.
Oh. Oh, my God. I'm looking at her. She's a voluptuous blonde.
She's literally a waitress in a strip club.
Yeah.
She must know Tiger Woods. She must. Like, I just want to pull her aside and just be like, come on, just tell me the truth. You know Tiger, don't you? You know him, don't you?
You have a cell phone. Come on.
Yeah. You do. Send him a text. Cute. Quickly.
Who else?
Got, and Mandy, you know, and Laurel, the Cara Maria.
Well, I gotta point out one thing about Mandy. She spells it Mandy with an I.
Yeah.
That tells me either crazy or a slut. One of the two.
Oh, yeah. But there's a lot of the intersection in those two circles as well.
Sure. Might even be a crazy slut.
Right in the middle.
Yeah. Could be both. But it's going to be at least be one. I'm locking down one of the ones. One of the two.
I mean, I don't want to show my hand on my draft strategy too much, but I really like this Cara Maria girl.
Yeah.
She did like 6 pull-ups, which is, I don't know, 4 times as many as I could do. She kind of looks like Jack Sparrow a little bit. She's like ties like sort of ropes and stuff into her hair. She's a wild card. She's from Newton. She's probably a Sox fan.
She's from Newton?
Yeah.
They describe her as a dark beauty with skull beads in her hair. She admits to liking dirty bad boys and dances to a beat of her own drum.
Yeah, I like everything about her.
She has a sweet disposition, but it's balanced by a mean temper and a tendency to say things she regrets. Well, then.
Huh.
That sounds fantastic.
I'm into it.
I'm looking at, on their website, they have the promo for the Challenge Fresh Meat 2, and it's a split screen of Wes and Kenny. Like, they've really gone LeBron Kobe level promotion for this.
They really have. I mean, you wouldn't know that anyone else was even on the show if you watched the promos.
All right, well, we're going to cover more of this next week. We'll have the draft next week. We'll watch. So it's on tonight, Wednesday night, MTV. But we have to hit Survivor. We have 8 minutes. Last week was, I thought, one of the most epic Survivor episodes of all time. It clearly was headed for some Russell, Boston, Rob. One of them is going to have to go. And I can't remember another episode like that, Czar.
I've never, ever. I mean, I'm just going to flat out say it. That was the best episode of Survivor that's ever happened.
Yeah, it was just unbelievable.
Easily, and it was like it was a high watermark for so many different things, like drama, tension, strategy. I'm starting to think that Russell could be the president of the United States one day.
It was unbelievable. The fact that he's still in the game and now has control of it, and that we watched it happen over the last 3 weeks, I still don't know how he did it. And I watched every second of all three of those shows.
I remember me and Joey just sat there on the couch, like, with jaws agape, just shocked. It was like, oh no, this is going to work. And his play with Coach, when he gave her the idol, he stood up and looked at Coach, and he was like, you know, it's all about honesty and loyalty and being a good guy. And so he gets points from Coach for being a good guy, too. Like, he was thinking two steps down the road that now Coach is going to swap to his side.
Yeah. And
oh, brilliant, this guy.
The part that nobody's been able to explain is how everybody agreed the immunity idol was off limits. And then Russell went out and openly looked for it, violated their little handshake deal, and everybody's like, oh, this guy's a scumbag. And now he has control of the game. I've never understood everybody's just totally willing to forget the part where he violated everybody's agreement.
Yeah, and it's like, if you were on that show, I mean, these aren't strangers. You know, they've sort of seen each other. They have an idea of sort of their behavior. And you see it, Russell's on your team, the first thing you do is vote him off. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the killer whale that killed somebody. It's like, it's called a killer whale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if Russell is a dangerous, maniacal genius.
Well, the problem is, none of these people had seen his show because it started, they were on this island after his show ended. So I don't think they saw the episodes. Yeah. Yeah, they didn't know.
So they haven't seen a single episode of his?
No. I think that was his big advantage going in.
And isn't it like the same island, by the way? Like, didn't he like just stay there? He hasn't left that island since like 2008.
I'm convinced that this island is in like right outside of Los Angeles.
Oh, no. It's in a warehouse in Los Angeles.
I refuse to believe they're like wherever the hell they say they are, Thailand or whatever.
They fly one shooter out there to get all the scenics in the jungle, and then the rest of it's just a set right across the street from a Starbucks.
Walk me through the tribal council where Boston Rob gets semi-blindsided, voted off because Jerry and Coach turned against him. So 4-3-1 vote. Coach was obviously the no balls. I'm not going to pick a side here. I'm just going to go with Courtney. Jerry stands up and hugs Rob, who hugs her back for some reason, even though she switched sides and voted him off. She didn't deserve a hug. And no. Coach comes in out of nowhere, like from the side, for like a side hug. And that's when Rob's like, I've had enough. And he calls Coach a little man. And I would say that was the most embarrassing 2 seconds I've ever seen for a reality show contestant. Coach was eviscerated.
The little man thing is just so good.
But not just a little man, but the way he was like leaning forward and it was kind of, he was off balance and he had to kind of shrink back to his seat. It was awesome. I loved it. I rewound it like 10 times. It was so good.
It was great. The goodbyes are always kind of awkward on that show because I don't think they have a hard and fast rule. They should just be like, come over here. We unlight your torch. You don't say goodbye to anybody. No handshakes or hugs or nothing.
Well, I think most of the time, and they do a nice job of hiding this from us, but I think almost every time the person knows that they're getting voted off. In that case, I don't think he knew.
Yeah. I mean, the structure of that, after the, you know, the little immunity challenge or whatever, there you obviously it's going to be person A, and then the producers somehow make you feel at the last second like, oh, maybe it'll be person B.
Yeah.
It ends up being person A.
I sent you an email from a reader saying that Boston Rob, most overrated person, not just on Survivor, but on all reality TV, finished 10th his first year, rode the Amber coattails to second place the other time. I think this is his third appearance. He also lost twice on Amazing Race. This guy's point was Boston Rob, media hype, overrated. You don't agree?
I don't agree. I think I like Boston Rob a lot. I mean, let's not forget, this guy lit a fire with like two sticks and a string, which I can't light. I went to a hotel one time with a fireplace. I couldn't even get the thing lit. And I had like lighter fluid and kindling. And I had to call a dude to come, you know, light the fire.
Yeah.
Remember when he passed out this year?
Yeah.
From, like, doing too much stuff and carrying stuff around and building things? I'm a Boston Rob supporter. He's always got a Red Sox hat on. I like that.
Dave Jacoby.
I'm on Boston Rob's team.
Dave Jacoby, I'm so glad that you're a fan of mine. I'm a fan of yours as well. Me and Amber, we listen to this podcast.
How do you do it so well?
Thank you. I don't know. It's one of my...
Can you do other impersonations, or is it just somehow Boston Rob?
I have a couple. That's the only one I've broken out. I think my best one is impersonation of Neil Diamond singing The Cure. I've been able to do since college. I also have an impression of Davy and Goliath, the old show Davy and Goliath. Goliath being upset that Davy was pleasuring himself. It's another one of my imitations.
Let me see Neil Diamond on opening day.
Yeah, that was a good. We got to go.
Okay.
They have to tape another podcast here. You're going to come back next week, and we're going to have a draft with House and really break this down. Anything you want to plug?
Yeah. The next round. ESPN.com/next round. Brand new show, interview with David Ortiz. The guy's the best. Everything you think about David Ortiz is true.
This runs on ESPN.com, hosted by Scoop Jackson, and you're running this whole thing.
That's right, along with, you know, a bunch of other people.
All right, but take credit for it. Screw those other people. We'll talk to you soon, Czar.
All right, brother.
Target to sign off. Whoa!
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much. Fine.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
With all the talk about sports, Bill Simmons neglected to mention this important just breaking news. Subway now has breakfast. And unlike the competition, you can get it made just the way you want. Like the Subway Western Egg White Muffin Melt. Add jalapenos, banana peppers, tomatoes, or try Monterey Cheddar. Build your better breakfast at Subway. And after you build your better breakfast, grab your favorite $5 footlong to go. Made to your order all day, every day. Only at Subway.